ಮೇಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವನೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ 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 ಓಂ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವ ಸರಿ ಗೌರವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ
Okay, some of this will be kind of funny English and needs some nice editing, but whatever. Having bowed down to Nara Narayana, the most exalted beings, and also to the goddess Saraswati, then all glories to them. Ugrashrava, the son of Lomaharshana, right, had Lomaharshan. Oh, here has Lomaharshana, I think it's Romaharshana. Right, Romaharshana Sutta. His son is Ugrashrava Sutta. So the Sutta Goswami that we know of is Sutta Goswami. That is Ugrashrava Sutta, right? The son. But in the Puranas, they're spoken by Romaharshana Sutta many times, I've heard. They're spoken by one or the other, by either the father or the son. So when it says Sutta, then it may mean one, it may mean the other. But in the Bhagavatam and here, then these are the sons. Surnamed Sauti, right? Well versed in the Puranas, bending with humility, means that, like when he goes, he was very humble, and so he's always, you know, if he was around anybody, he's very, so you could obviously see the humility. One day approached the great sages of rigid vows, sitting at their ease, who had attended the 12-year sacrifice of Shonaka, surnamed Kulapati. Kulapati means who is like the head Brahmin. And all others are kind of like following their his mood or direction, or they may be his students, like that. Okay, so like if you have an ashram, then they may have the kulapati. Kulapati will mean that. Okay. In the forest of Naimisha, those ascetics, wishing to hear his wonderful narrations, presently began to address him, who had thus arrived at that reclose abode of the inhabitants of the forest of Naimisha. Having been entertained with due respect by those holy men, he saluted those munis, means Sutta saluted the munis, right? Right there, it's not good.
What does saluted mean?
Oh, okay.
Huh? What does saluted mean?
Salute means offered respect. See, this is done in 1830, so this is good English in 1830, okay? But now it's very wordy and big. People try to keep it small and that because they can't keep the thread like that. But if there's any word you don't understand, just raise your hand, okay?
Marzani's in this book was made in the time.
Huh?
Marzani's in this book was made in the time.
No, this was translated at that time. Right? So this is a copy of that book. Not the computer, no. It wasn't made in 1830. No. you know, okay? The book, they scanned it, then they checked it in that. Having been entertained, saluted those munis, sages, with joined palms, right, like this. Even all of them, right, means to all of them. So when you hear it means even, means, you know, would be even all of them means, yeah, it would mean just to all of them. But it means the even adds something, meaning each and every one, you know, because he means if you just say all of them, that could be all of them together. But even all of them means like each one. He'd go around and respect. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it kind of, it adds a little more weight when you get this even. They don't use it nowadays, but it's very expressive. This old English, this older style of English. He saluted all of them and inquired about the progress of their asceticism, right? Because asceticism, what they're doing, so naturally you ask, you know, just like your mother will say, how's your health? because that's what is important to her, and that's your relation. So the sages, they're doing ascetics, they're doing vows, right? So naturally you'll ask them how is their vows and everything going, right? Then all the ascetics being again seated, right? Because when he came, they were sitting at their ease, sitting down. He comes, they'll stand up, because he's senior to them. Because Kulapati, their head of the ashram, then considers him like his guru. Does that make sense? So they all stood up, right? And after standing up, now then again being again seated, the son of Lomaharshana humbly occupied the seat that was assigned to him. Seeing that he was comfortably seated and recovered from fatigue, one of the rishis, beginning the conversation, asked him. Right? So it means first they saw, you know, he was comfortable, relaxed. You know, in other words, if somebody just comes and they're just a little fatigued and tired or need to go to the bathroom, you don't like, you know, sit them down and, you know, big group puja haribol, you know, you first like that. If it'll work, great. If not, then let them rest, and then afterwards, then you hear from them and that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because otherwise it's like somebody's flown halfway across the world, then driven in the car for so many hours and hasn't eaten for, you know, nicely for a couple of days. And then as soon as they walk in the temple, then they expect big kirtan and, you know, bathing the feet, and then, you know, they're going to give class and this and that. And, you know what I'm saying? You know, the normal thing is that maybe they can. Some are happy with it, but others, you know, would like to come in, just take a little rest, maybe take a little prasad, and then they're willing to, you know, see the devotees, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you have to see what's the situation. That's why he says he's recovered. So if they're not fatigued, you don't have to worry about it. If they are, then you're covered. Okay. Whence comest thou, O lotus-eyed Sauti, and where hast thou spent the time? Tell me, who asked thee in detail. The end of that. Quence means where, right? Comest means come, right? This is like, means, in other words, the text is in 1830s English, but the conversations seem to be putting it back into even older, more formal English. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And thou, thee, this all means ye, it all means you. Yeah? Okay? Hast means has. Right? Whence comest thou means when did you come, or from where did you come? Whence means from where. Right? And where hast thou spent the time? Where did you spend the time? Tell me who asked thee. Tell me who asked you in detail. Okay, you understand? You'll catch it after a while. Okay. Accomplished in speech means he's very good at speaking. Sauti thus questioned. Gave in the midst of that big assemblage of contemplative munis a full and proper answer in words consonant with their mode of life. Right? It means he was questioned, so from that, then in the midst means in the middle of that big assemblage, it means assembly, right, of contemplative munis, means they're very thoughtful and meditative, they're not just frivolous and all that like that. A full and proper answer in words consonant with their mode of life. In other words, consonant means it would be in respect. How would you translate consonant?
Huh?
Consonant means like it's connected to or in consideration of. The words used here, Sauti gave in their midst a full and proper answer in words consonant with their mode of life.
I guess in harmony.
In harmony, yeah, okay.
What does in harmony?
Huh?
What does in harmony mean?
In harmony means consonant. Harmony would be that. Yeah, it goes along nicely. Smoothly with it. It's in harmony with. It means like when we're chanting, if something is the same note, it's in harmony. When it's out, then it starts to sound funny. So harmony means it's the same. It moves nicely. Does that make sense? So they're sages. So you give them, you use words and then present it in such a way that it matches how they would like to hear it and understand it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like when you have a little kid and something that's in harmony or consonant with their mode of life, you joke with them, laugh with them, and use simple words and stuff like that. you know, but an adult, then you speak differently.
Like the Bhagavad Mahabharata is in harmony with Kaliyuga.
Yeah, like that. Means, yeah, because you'll see in here it goes into great detail, the culture, that's why I like to bring it out here. But, you know, it'll show all the different... One can easily get lost in it and miss the transcendental aspect of it, because it so much gives, you know, the material situation and moods and emotions and feelings and all that. So that's, you have to be careful. Okay. Sauti said, having heard the diverse sacred and wonderful stories which were composed in his Mahabharata by Krishna Dvaipayana and which were recited in full by Vaishampayana at the snake sacrifice of the high-souled royal sage Janamejaya, and in the presence also of that chief of princes, the son of Parikit, and having wandered about, visiting many sacred waters and holy shrines, I journeyed to the country venerated by the Dvijas and called Samantapanchika, Kurukshetra, where formerly was fought the battle between the children of Kuru and Pandu, and all the chiefs of the land raged. Ranged means they were chiefs of the land, means like the kings. They ranged means they were, you know, moving in their chariots here and there, you know, like that. On either side. That was one sentence. Okay, so he's heard all the different kinds of stories that were composed in the Mahabharata by Vyasadeva that was spoken at the snake sacrifice of... Swami's going.
I'll be back.
Okay. At the snake sacrifice. Right? Janamejaya did a snake sacrifice because his father, Parikit, was killed by snake. Yeah. And it wasn't correct. You know, it wasn't right how it was done. So then, like that. So this... Okay. Thence, anxious to see you. Thence means then. You know, then at that time, yes.
Did Mars Janamejaya kill all the snakes?
He started to. They got up to Takshaka and then it stopped. Like that. That you'll hear. That's going to take a few hundred pages to get to that. That's what they generally drop out, is the whole snake sacrifice and the whole history behind that. So many nice stories are there. That's why I prefer starting here, because you have three places you could start. You can start here at the beginning. You can start at Upri Charavasu, or you can start at Shantanu. Like that. So they're all considered, you know, okay places to start. Like that. I prefer the beginning, because then you have so many stories. Like that. Okay. Thence, anxious to see you, I came into your presence, ye reverend sages. Ye meaning you, reverend meaning respectful sages. Okay? Like that. You know, after a few hundred pages, this will get it. All of whom are to me as Brahma. Right, means they're all like considered transcendental or greatly superior. Like Brahma is the head. There's no one superior to Brahma, so he sees them like that. Ye greatly blessed who shine in this place of sacrifice with the splendor of the solar fire. Right, means the solar fire means of the sun. Right, shine like the sun, like that. Plus, they also chant the Gayatri, so then that is also to the sun. So in both ways, from their meditation, from their austerities, they're like the sun. You have concluded the silent meditations and have fed the holy fire. Means the silent meditations, they've been so absorbed, they've come to the conclusion of it. You know, they've understood who they are and that they're the soul and not the body and that. And they worship, fed the holy fire, means feeding, means offering ghee into the yajna. And yet, who are sitting? Yeah?
Well, you mentioned that they chant the Gayatri, but even the Upanayana Gayatri to the sun, no?
Yeah, so that's
but
that's,
then
that's
why is it called Brahma Gayatri?
Because it's to bring you to the platform of Brahman. It's to bring you to the platform. You understand you're Brahman and you're not the body. Brahman meaning soul. Okay.
Yeah, what's the other Gayatris of Lakshmi Devi, Nila Devi?
Yeah, yeah. No, those are all. Those are
the
all.
One for Brahma also?
That, I'm not sure. There may be. There's just, it's not used as much because people in this age, he was cursed to not be worshipped like that. And then because of that, then, you know, I think I've only seen one deity of Brahma in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also.
Oh, Pushkar, yeah, because that's his place. Pushkar's his place. But otherwise in India, I think that's the only deity.
Cursed by your son not to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. Problems.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. It's tough. It's
creative,
tough.
But then...
Yeah, yeah. There you go. That way it balances it. Everybody respects him, but he doesn't get to worship. So. And yet, who are sitting without care, right? You've done all these, but sitting without care means you have nothing to gain, right? You're peaceful. You have nothing to gain. So you're nothing material to gain. So they're sitting without care. Not that they're lazy, just that they are. What, O ye dvijas, right? Dvijas means twice born, right? Those who are initiated. Shall I repeat? Shall I recount the sacred stories collected in the Puranas containing precepts of religious duty and of worldly profit, or the acts of illustrious saints and sovereigns of mankind? So he's saying, so what shall I repeat? You know, so much as he's heard. So all the stories of the Puranas that tell about one's duties and about you know the benefits that you get from those duties and all that, or what great saints and kings have performed. Okay, one more. The Rishi replied, so the Rishi would be Sonaka, and Sauti would be Suta Goswami. Okay, same like in the Bhagavatam. The Purana, first promulgated by the great Rishi Dvaipayana, and which, after having been heard both by the gods and the Brahma Rishis, right, was highly esteemed, being the most eminent narrative that exists, diversified both in diction and division, possessing subtle meanings, logically combined and gleaned from the Vedas. Right, so this means it's considered very most exalted because it's taking all the essence out of the Vedas, right?
What's the difference between a Brahma Rishi and a Maharishi?
Maharishi generally means a great sage. Brahma Rishi means they're generally just the sons of Brahma, like that. They're great personalities like that.
What other type of rishis are there?
Rishi just means a sage who's renounced, basically who lives in the forest. They don't have to be sannyasis. They would generally just be those who live very austere and live in the forest and are very knowledgeable. So they're austere and they're very knowledgeable. So these are rishis.
Like, Rishi.
That's a Raja Rishi. So Raja Rishi means he's a king who's a rishi. But technically any Brahmin who's knowledgeable and practicing, you know, so it means he has the character and the knowledge as a rishi, like that. Makes sense. Like Vyasadeva is a rishi, you know, like that. And so all these different. Muni means he has his own philosophy, you know, specifically. So like that. So Vyasa is also Muni because he's the one, the head of the Uttaramimamsa, meaning the philosophy based on the Uttara, the upper part of the Veda. Meaning the Upanishads and Aranyakas, so that means the philosophy, the transcendental. Apurva Mimamsa means the Brahmanas and the Samhita and the Brahmanas, so that means that's Karmakanda, and so that's Purva first, and Uttara means the second. That's the transcendental. Okay, so he's the head of that. It's gleaned from the Vedas, so it's taking the essence out of the Vedas. Right, it's a sacred work. Composed in an elegant language, it includeth the subjects of other books. Includeth means includes, right? So whatever is in other books is in the Mahabharata. It is elucidated by other shastras and comprehendeth the sense of the four Vedas. Right? Comprehends means it gives the understanding. We are desirous of hearing that history, also called Bharata. Right? So he's saying that Purana means the Mahabharata is a Purana. Purana means history. So he just said that this is, you know, such an exalted and it has so many things. So it's also called the Bharata. But because it's so big, then it's called Mahabharata. Right? The great Bharata. But the Purana's name is Bharata. Again, Bhagavatam or Vishnu Purana or that. So this is the Bharata Purana. So it's just generally known as Mahabharata. Okay? The holy composition of the wonderful Vyas, which dispelleth the fear of evil, right? Here the eth means you just dispel, eth means it does. Just as it was cheerfully recited by the Rishi Vaishampayana under the direction of Dvaipayana himself at the snake sacrifice of Raja Janamejaya. It means, so he's saying is, you know, just, he just saying is, it cleared everyone's fear and evil just as when Janamejaya spoke it. Right? Okay. So we'll end here and then we'll hear what, how Sauti then starts the discussion. Okay? Yeah? I mean, is this okay? Not too, you know. You'll learn some far out English and you get a lot of detail. I mean, it's like there, that we went to like one page.
We talk like this, like a normal, will people understand?
Generally, this is literary, so generally anyone who's educated, you know, in literature and stuff will understand all this language. Because these words money can do, it's just that, you know, the dispelleth and all that. They use that in, you know, poetry or in dramas or old different kinds of literature, so it's there. So learning this, you know, you'll come across it now and again, like that. You know, it's not it's not uncommon, but people don't speak like this on the street, you know, like that.
Yeah? Is Marjana Vijaya's line still here?
All the lines went into Kali Yuga about 28 generations and then stopped. So the Sun and Moon dynasty stopped after 28 generations into Kali Yuga. Right, so that's like about 400 or 500 years in the Kali Yuga when they all stopped. But there is somebody from the Sun Dynasty and the Moon Dynasty. There's two kings that are still alive now, and are, you know, living incognito, you know, in India. And at the end of Kali Yuga, then they will start the dynasties again, like that.
I heard they're living in a temple in South India. That's what I heard.
Oh, maybe. They're around.
Arjuna's son to the Naga princess, Babru Vahana, he also continued down like Arjuna's branch.
Yeah, it would be, but technically it would, it means, you could say the bloodline, it would be there, but technically it's what was her name? The wife. No, Ulupi was the Naga. I think it was Chitrangada. Chitrangada. So Chitrangada's father, so Babruvahan, would technically carry on his line. You know what I'm saying? Not Arjuna's, because she was appointed. So that means then her son becomes her father's son, as far as inheritance goes. Does that make sense? So instead of, means the, you know, the daughter marries and then the son becomes her husband's, right? You know, in other words, it changes lines. But in this way, if she's appointed, then that means her son will become her father's for continuing in that line, because there's no son. So the grandson then takes on the duties of the son, like that. So he stays in that line. So technically that will be the Manipuri line.
Yeah. The two kings that are still around, is it that they're just getting born again, or are they really old and they're just around?
No, they'll just be given that blessing to carry on. So they probably will just, who knows what the disguise is, they look old, young, or whatever it is, but they'll...
Just stay the same.
But do
it. He fears that they look the same.
Yeah, who knows how they probably just keep moving and stuff.
But jungle area, you can hike pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah. You go to the Himalayas, or, you know, people in this. Yeah. plus people of that kind of they probably have potencies of people like Bhishma, you know, he could disappear and all that. So Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.